after your first meditation, during this first period of preparation, the call of our Blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who desires that we participate into his consecration to our Blessed Lady, his dependence as a child in the womb, under her heart, so to speak. It is his will. We need to be penetrated by it. And after we meditated about a little bit the spirit of this world with the spirit of the enemies of the cross of Christ. Because there is no distinction in reality between Christ and his cross. Our second meditation, after we put ourselves again in front of the majesty of God, our blessed Lord, God of God, light of light, he is here, you are here, and you should ask our blessed lady to help you really to comprehend a little bit at least the presence of Almighty God. And after you should do your meditation truly, through Mary, in Mary, with Mary, and for Mary. And if you have problems to meditate, you should ask her, help me, my dear mother, to meditate well, instruct me, help me to talk to you and to your divine Son. Now the second meditation is somehow similar to one meditation in Ignatius Retreat. It treats of the two parties, the two cities in this world, or the two armies which are standing looking at each other, which are compromiseless. And these two armies we see, and we must decide to belong in one or the other army. In one or the other city, as St. Augustine says, the city of Mary, which is the city of God, or the city of Satan. We need to ask at this meditation ourselves, do we want to be on the side, on the party, on the army of Christ and his Blessed Mother, or the side, the party, the army and the city of Lucifer? We must do an election at this meditation. And our Lord says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will sustain the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then our Lord says, in chapter 12, verse 13. He that is not with me is against me, and he that guardeth not with me scattereth. And your meditation, your thoughts for meditation is again today, for the second meditation, taken from the words of St. Louis Klinger de Montfort, the letters to the friends of the cross. It's taken from the numbers 7 to 10 inclusive. when he says, "Dear brethren, these are the two groups that appear before you each day, the followers of Christ and the followers of the world." You'll have to imagine these two worlds. As soon as you go out into the world, or you need to go out into the world, every person you meet belongs either to one or to the other. There are two worlds, and these people who belong to the one or the other cross each other every single day. Our loving Savior's group is to the right, scaling a narrow path made all the narrow by the world's corruption. Our kind Master is in the lead, barefooted, thorn crowned, wrapped in his blood, and weighted with a heavy cross. There is only a handful of people who follow him, but they are the bravest of the brave. His gentle voice is not heard above the tumult of the world, or men do not have the courage to follow him in poverty, suffering, humiliation, and in the other crosses his servants must bear all the days of their life. To the left is the world's group, the devil's in fact, which is far superior in number and seemingly far more colorful and splendid in array, St. Louis says. Fashionable folk are all in a hurry to enlist. The highways are overcrowded, although they are broad and ever broadening with the crowds that flow through in a torrent. These roads are strewn with flowers, bordered with all kinds of amusements and attractions, and paved with gold and silver. And he reverences this thought upon the words of our Lord, right, that the way to heaven is narrow. To the right, the little flock that follows Jesus can speak only of tears, penance, prayer and contempt for worldly things. Sobbing in their grief, they can be heard repeating, "Let us suffer, let us weep, let us fast, let us pray, let us hide, let us humble ourselves, let us be poor, let us mortify ourselves, for he who is not the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the cross, is none of Christ's. Those who are Christ's have crucified their flesh with its concupiscence." We must be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, or else be damned. Be brave. They keep saying to each other, "Be brave, for if God is for us, in us and leading us, who dare be against us?" The one who is dwelling within us is stronger than the one who is in the world. No servant is above his master. One moment of light tribulation worketh an eternal weight of glory. There are fewer elect than man may think. Only the brave and daring take heaven by storm. The crown is given only to those who strive lawfully according to the gospel, not according to the fashion of the world. Let us put all our strength into the fight and run very fast to reach the goal and win the crown, friends of the Christ, spur each other on with such divine words. Worldlings, on the contrary, rouse one another to persist in their unscrupulous depravity. "Enjoy life, peace, and pleasure," they shout. "Enjoy life, peace, and pleasure. Let us eat and drink, let us sing, let us dance, and let us play. God is good. He did not make us to damn us. God does not forbid us to enjoy ourselves. We shall not be damned for that. Away with scruples, we shall not die. We shall not die," they say. And so they continue. So your meditation basically consists of the spirit of this army or city of our Blessed Lady or our Blessed Lord in the other city, which is the city of Lucifer. And also, the imitation of Christ says, you can use that for your meditation or then for a little spiritual reading, says in chapter 2, in book 2, chapter 20, it's book 2, chapter 11, rather, on the small number of the loafers of the cross of Jesus. Jesus is now many, has many loafers of his heavenly kingdom, but few that are willing to bear his cross. He has many that are desirous of comfort, but few of tribulation. He finds many companions of his table, but few of his abstinence. All desire to rejoice with him, few are willing to suffer with him. Many follow Jesus to the breaking of bread, but few to the drinking of the chalice of his passion. Many reverence his miracles, but few follow the ignominy of his cross. Many love Jesus as long they meet with no adversity. Many praise him and bless him as long as they receive consolation from him. But if Jesus hide himself and leave them for a little while, they either fall into complaints or excessive dejection. But they that love Jesus for Jesus' sake, and not for any comfort of their own, bless him, no less in tribulation and anguish of heart than in the greatest consolation. And if he should never give them his comfort, yet would they always praise him and always give him thanks. Oh, how much is the pure love of Jesus able to do when he is not mixed with any self-interest or self-love? Are not all those to be called hirelings who are always seeking consolation? Are they not proved to be rather lovers of themselves than of Christ, who are always thinking of their own profit and gain? Where shall we find a man that is willing to serve God gratis? Seldom do we find anyone so spiritual as to be stripped of all things. For who shall be able to find a man that is truly poor in spirit, and stripped of all affection to all created things? His prize is from afar and from the uttermost coasts. If a man give to his whole sustenance, it is still nothing. And if he do great penance, it is yet little. And if he attain to all knowledge, he is far off still. And if he has great virtue and exceeding fervent devotion, there is still much wanting to him, namely one thing, which is chiefly necessary for him. And what is this? That having left all things else, he leave also himself, and wholly to go out of himself, and retain nothing of self-love. And when he shall have done all things which he knows should be done, let him think that he has done nothing. Let him not make great account of that which may appear much to be esteemed, but let him in truth acknowledge himself to be an unprofitable servant, as truth itself has said, when you shall have done all these things that are commended you, say, we are unprofitable servants. Then may he be truly poor and naked in spirit, and may say with the prophet, I am alone and poor. Yet no one is indeed richer than such a man, none more powerful, none more free, who knows how to leave himself in all things and place himself in the very lowest place. So meditation of the true cities in this world. But also you should meditate in the light of what Our Lady says, that in this time Our Blessed Lady, as the victorious fighter, so to speak, of Satan himself, she entered the final battle, as she said herself in Fatima, the final battle between her and Lucifer. And that's why she collects in our time, when we talk about the Marian age, she collects those souls which belong entirely into her army. And in that flows truly the prophecy, right, of St. Louis Clino de Montfort, of these prophets of the latter days, which Our Lady will build up for the great battle, which has begun now, and which will lead into the battle with the servant of Lucifer himself, namely the Antichrist. After your meditation, you should really, that meditation should lead into a very intimate conversation either with Our Lord or Our Lady, that you talk with them, with Our Lady, about your meditation, what you recognize, what you comprehend, and you should maybe sometimes, if your soul is inclined to do so, have a resolution, right, that you, for this meditation, that your resolution will be that you entirely, with your entire heart, with all your being, want to belong to this great army, the city of Mary, the soldiers, the servants, the children of Mary. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.